Hello, Oklahoma lefties. Welcome to the premiere episode of the Oklahoma Activist Report podcast, which might maybe be named Pointing Left, unless people tell me it's too weird and uncool. As you might suspect, this name is in honor of the awesome shape of our great state. It's also a nod to its progressive populist history, and hopefully soon, what will be a revival of that political perspective. I'm Serena Blaze, the accidental Okie, a resident here since 2003 when I came for just a few months and brought with me my lust for justice, equality, and wider opportunity from parts a wee bit more advanced politically. So it's been a rough haul. You can find me on the web, social media, and throughout the galaxy going by the nickname slash account name PCEARENA, PACEARENA. So feel free to friend me, follow me, block me, report me, or just avoid me wherever you happen to be between here and Planet X. Oh, and production note, I'm recording this in my home office, not a big swanky studio, surprise, surprise, and I have dogs, so they may interject their existence occasionally. Their names are Jolie and Donovan, and I'm telling you because we might have a quiz later. So anyway, the initial idea at this point anyway, is to do a weekly 30-minute show that covers some recent news, highlights some upcoming events, features an action alert or two, and exposes discoveries of that special item so rare to Oklahoma these days, a left-leaning idea for public policy published in what passes for news media in this state. So you can access the show a couple of ways. Broad Spectrum Radio will play it a couple of times a week on a 24-hour streaming channel that's produced here in Oklahoma. So check out broadspectrumradio.com for the schedule and to tune into the streaming feed. Our podcast file will be available at oklahomaactivist.com/podcast. While there at oklahomaactivist.com, you can get more news and views or even create an account and post your own reports, events, and comments. We aim to have a new show each Friday. And before I forget, just want to thank Broad Spectrum Radio for putting us up on their channel, and also to the Center for Conscience and Action, which helps support that group and also helps support me a wee bit. So give us feedback. What do you like, not like, want more of, less of? Did we piss you off? Did we provide you a sense that you are not alone in this deep red state? Make you yawn or guffaw, whatever? Tell us about it. Post on oklahomaactivist.com or send us an email at oklahomaactivist@gmail.com. Now, what are we going to cover on this show? Isn't it about time we got to that? Well, yes. So here's the lineup. The latest embarrassment of every living Oklahoma from Sally Kern. Yes, you know you want to hear about that. The latest embarrassment of every living Oklahoman by James Langford. Oh, wait! He did something good. We'll call this the broken clock department. A cool way to show your love for Oklahoma's radical history, and we like to think help usher in its progressive future with style. Hey, and it's Michael Moore movie time. Always a treat, but this time he needs our help. Oh, my goodness. What's up with Michael Moore? You may be surprised. And we'll have some upcoming events and finish with an open letter to Oklahomans published as an editorial in the Tulsa World. So that's what's coming up on this episode of Pointing Left, the Oklahoma Activist Report. The first thing out of our news department on this premiere broadcast deals with our favorite Oklahoma legislator, Sally Kern. Oh, this is Sally's last year in the legislature. She's getting term limited out. What are we going to do without her? Oh, I'd call her our nemesis, but, you know, she'd wear that like a badge of honor, so let's not. But anyway, here's the latest nonsense from Sally Kern. And this is from the New Civil Rights Movement, .com by David Badash. Breaking: Sally Kern pulls anti-LGBT youth bill after realizing it could increase teen abortion. It was published February 4th, 2016. Republican State Representative Sally Kern of Oklahoma just pulled a virulently anti-gay bill from a floor vote, but not because it could harm LGBTQ youth and teens. As NCRM reported earlier today, HB 3044 would prohibit school personnel, including counselors, therapists, social workers, administrators, teachers, etc., from providing guidance or information about human sexuality without notifying the minor's parents at least 24 hours in advance. While not written into the bill, the clear goal of the legislation was to out LGBTQ youth and teens to parents so they could somehow intervene before their children make a, quote, poor decision, unquote, by choosing to be gay. Some on social media had called it the LGBT suicide bill, knowing it would lead directly to increased LGBTQ youth and teen suicide. But Kern didn't kill the bill for that reason. Quote, Kern told committee members she recently learned her bill could have unintended consequences that could affect the work of many pregnancy resource centers in the state that volunteer their time, energy, and resources in helping women and babies in crisis time in their lives, unquote, eCapital reports. Oklahomans for Equality, an LGBT civil rights group, added that, quote, Representative Kern was defiant to the end, claiming that the only reason to pull the bill was to protect pro-life activists, not LGBT teenagers, unquote. The bill itself was so dangerous that Freedom Oklahoma, in an email sent to the new civil rights movement, noted that should it become law, quote, a school counselor cannot even give a student struggling with suicidal thoughts or at risk of self-harm the phone number for the National Suicide Prevention Hotline without informing their parents, even in cases where the parent may be the catalyst of the harm. It also forces counselors and social workers to violate the ethics of their profession by either breaching the confidence of a youth or being barred from offering support and resources, unquote. Freedom Oklahoma Executive Director Troy Stevenson called it, quote, exceptionally irresponsible for legislators to use school children as props in the politics of distraction on display in this legislative session, unquote, and in a statement reiterated that HB 3044 would literally put the lives of students at risk. HB 3044's demise is great for LGBTQ youth and families, but Sally Kern and her other anti-gay lawmakers have already filed another 25 anti-LGBT bills this session. One down, many more to go. Okay, so that's the basic story from the new civil rights movement. And I want to share with you, though, the actual statement that Representative Kern emailed out with on Oklahoma House of Representatives letterhead, because it's really a piece of work. State Representative Sally Kern issued the following statement today about her decision to withdraw House Bill 3044, a bill she believes may not have the effect that was her intent. Quote, I am pulling House Bill 3044, and there will be no further action taken on it, said Kern, Republican Oklahoma City. The only reason, only in all caps, I am pulling the legislation is because it has come to attention, not my attention, just attention, the unintended consequences of negatively affecting the wonderful work of nearly 50 pregnancy resource centers across the state who volunteer their time, energy, and resources in helping women and babies in a crisis time in their lives. She continues, because I am 100% pro-life, I will not advance a bill that could in any way adversely impact those wonderful organizations in their effort to protect the unborn. While I am still completely committed to the principle that parents have a right to be informed, if I am going to err on a bill, I want to err on the side of life. Close quotes and end of statement and press release. Now, what I kind of imagine is, who is it who got the job of going to Sally Kern and explaining to her what the hell her own bill was going to do? I mean, the woman is brain dead, and it will be a happy day. I think we should just start planning now for a huge celebration on the last day of this legislative session, because we will no longer have Sally Kern to kick around anymore. Well, at least not in that role. I'm sure she'll find something else to torment us with. But that will be a happy day when she no longer has an impact on, direct impact on state policy here in Oklahoma. And as an addendum, OCRJ, the Oklahoma Coalition for Reproductive Justice, sent out a note saying that Representative Virgin, who is Emily Virgin, who is the representative down from the Norman area, cautions that the bill could be resurrected and heard at a later time, and they will be continuing to track it. But basically, they said that given the pretty big negative reaction that the committee members heard from Oklahoma citizens, basically from the OCRG Action Team, thank you group, the energy and commitment is out there to get this defeated should it rear its homophobic head again. End of statement from OCRJ. And that's another group you should really check out and support, Oklahoma Coalition for Reproductive Justice. So that's the Sally report. Hopefully we won't have too many of those kind of stories the rest of this legislative session. But who knows? I mean, she probably wants to go out with a bang. Other news I wanted to tell you about is, and you may have already heard about this, the original Oklahoma state flag, which is a white star with blue border and a red background with the number 46 in the star. It was the 46, Oklahoma was a 46th state to gain statehood. That's why the 46. But it's a really a beautiful flag. And it only flew over the state officially for a short period of time, around World War One time, I think, after the Russian Revolution. People were worried that it looked too commie or something, so they got the current flag, which is very nice but kind of boring. At any rate, that original state flag you can now purchase it on a license plate and show your support for Oklahoma's great legacy. And it's only $18, and I want to give props to David Glover, who got that in a bill and passed. And basically, it's the easiest, cheapest way to get a license plate. There's no donation to any organization that's involved. It's, I think, the lowest cost they could go for. He just wanted to make it accessible, and it's really well designed. He got a graphic artist involved. Looks really great. So for $18, you can get this specialty plate. Now, I have never had a specialty plate. I always thought specialty plates were kind of elitist, but this one I'm making an exception of four. I think it's beautiful. I think it really makes a good statement without being too in your face. And frankly, it's prettier than the one, the official one, the main one. So if you want to order one of those, you can go to ok.gov/tax. I think we'll get you started there. Hit a couple of buttons or links there. But look for specialty license plates, and you will soon start seeing those on the road. And I'll have one on my car. Something else, we promised something about James Lankford. He did something that really surprised me, because I basically agree with James Lankford on absolutely zero, but he got on board the removing Andrew Jackson from the $20 bill bandwagon. I don't know if he knew he was getting on a bandwagon, but he is probably trying to make some political points with American Indian tribal groups and voters. And Andrew Jackson was not a good guy. He was responsible for a lot of pain, murder, brutality toward Native Americans while he was around, and there's no sense honoring that on our money, frankly. There has been a movement for a couple of years now to get women on the 20, and they picked the 20 because probably, it's a very common denomination, but also just to bump Jackson off of there probably had a little bit to do with it. And so there was a sort of, you know, a poll of, you know, what woman do you want on there? I went with Sojourner Truth. And then the Obama administration Treasury Department came out with putting a woman on the 10, which for some reason they decided not to do the 20. God knows why. At any rate, so there's stuff bubbling through the culture now with changing the money and finally getting a woman on there. I don't think Lankford actually suggested anybody in particular or a woman in general to be on the 20. I think he just wants a hearing on getting Jackson off and then taking ideas and whatnot. But kudos to him for finally doing something that I can support and congratulate him on and thank him for. And I think it's worth folks going to lankford.senate.gov and sending him a little note of appreciation. That's lankford.senate.gov. It's not Lankford, it's Lankford. At any rate, hopefully you'll do that, and hopefully in a year or two we'll won't be having Andrew Jackson staring us in the face when we go to buy something. Now, you may have heard that Michael Moore has a new movie coming out, which he does, and it's called Where to Invade Next, and man, oh man, is it getting some good reviews. People are saying it's his best work ever. I think the review in The Guardian said that Michael Moore has perpetrated an act of humanity or something to that extent, or guerrilla humanity, an act of guerrilla humanity, which, I mean, that's pretty much Michael Moore's shtick, isn't it? At any rate, so he's got a movie coming out. He's been talking about it, posting about it, Twitter, Facebook. He had a bunch of media gigs set up. He was going to be on Bill Maher. He was going to be on Conan, blah, blah, blah. Well, he got sick. He's got pneumonia, and he's not going to be able to do any of that stuff. So he posted on Thursday that he was in the hospital with pneumonia. And then Friday morning, February 4th, he posted this long letter on Facebook, probably also his website. But here, I want to read the letter because I think it's good. I'm writing this to all of you today, Thursday, from the intensive care unit of a hospital in New York City. Unfortunately, I've come down with pneumonia. Between running all over the place lately promoting my new movie, Where to Invade Next, plus going to Flint to help with the people of my hometown, plus jumping in to support Senator Sanders, plus doing a dozen other things. Well, I read somewhere you can't burn it at both ends, and if you do, it's best not to do it in the winter, nor anywhere near a place full of toxic water. The truth is, I've actually been in the ICU since Sunday night. Let's just say things didn't look good Sunday night, but thanks to a combination of good doctors, decent hospital food, and second-term Obamacare, I'm doing much better the last couple of days, so much so that I'm being discharged later today. I'm to return home and rest for the coming days. All appearances for the rest of this week have been canceled. Needless to say, in addition to being a bummer health-wise, and I'm trying out a new thing this week by putting that, my health, first, this is a huge loss to my efforts in leading up to the release of my new movie next Friday. I was supposed to be in L.A. tonight, Thursday, to be on Conan, and tomorrow night I was making my return after 2 years to the Bill Maher Show on HBO. And thank you, Aaron Brockovich, for going on in my place to talk about the situation in Flint. Since I mentioned my predicament earlier today on Twitter and Facebook, or perhaps you heard about it in the media, many of you have sent me very nice well wishes, thank you, and have asked me if there's anything you could do to help me. Well, actually, there is. I have to be honest. With my absence this week and probably into next, I'm now worried about my film's release. I can't fly. I have to recover. And in 1 week, February 12th, this great movie I've put so much of my life into is getting to open in theaters with little or no assistance from me. So would it be okay to enlist your help in a sort of quickly cobbled-together army of grassroots foot soldiers wherein you could pitch in where you live and on social media to let people know about my movie? I could post some ideas tomorrow of things you and your friends could do, things like share the trailer with others. It's on YouTube. Send around the movie's poster on Facebook. Show or place the 30-second ad wherever you can. forward reviews of the film to friends and family. Check out Salon.com for a good review there. I know this seems a bit unorthodox, he continues, and I've never seen a request like this made before by a director. Then again, I could just be on the wrong drugs. But this is the age of social media, and we're all trying lots of new ways to do things, aren't we? So why not just appoint each of you as the local PR person for Where to Invade Next, seeing how I can't make it there in person? This will make a huge take a huge burden off of me and give the movie a chance to be seen by millions. My other problem is that the distributor hired to release the film is a new startup company still in formation. The company doesn't even have a name yet. So their plan all along was essentially to have me do most of the work by running back and forth across the country doing interviews and screenings. Naturally, I love this plan, but none of us stopped to think what would happen if I got pneumonia. So they're doing their best now. These are the brave people who worked on the release of the Edward Snowden documentary Citizen Four. If a few thousand of you suddenly became champions and spokespeople for the film, then maybe we can pull this off. I would be forever in your debt. I do need to get some sleep, so I'll sign off for now. Check back with me tomorrow, Friday, for further updates and ideas. Thanks for offering to help. Stay warm, drink plenty of fluids, and let's get back to our nightly walks. Best, Michael. So I'm on board. I'm going to be part of this particular army. And just in case, like, you've been living in a cave or on Planet X, Where to Invade Next is, this is the supplied synopsis for the film. Where to Invade Next is an expansive, rib-tickling, and subversive comedy in which Academy Award-winning director Michael Moore, playing the role of Invader, visits a host of nations to learn how the U.S. could improve its own prospects. It's like I said, it's getting great reviews. So I'm planning to go. I checked the local Oklahoma City screenings for it. It's scheduled to open nationally on the 12th. It will actually, the first showing here in Oklahoma City will be the night of the 11th. They do that sometimes where they go in the night before of the release date and show it. So it's 7 p.m. on Thursday the 11th. I'll probably be at that one. It's at Quail Springs Mall. And then Quail Springs has it listed, and this is kind of important to know or to just have a heads up about. They've got it posted on their website as showing on Friday the 12th, Saturday the 13th, and Sunday the 14th at 1:15 and 7:15. They don't have it up for Monday through Thursday. So I don't know. I mean, are they just wondering how it's going to do and they'll take it from there? Are they just planning on only showing it those times? I mean, this is Oklahoma. Maybe it's they think that's only the people that want to see it. At any rate, I'm a little concerned, so I'm definitely seeing it over the weekend or on Thursday night and not missing it if it's not showing Monday through Thursday. So just be aware of that. If you want to go, see it right away. Or when you call them up and tell them you want to, what's going on. I don't know. I just thought that was weird, and I thought I'd pass it on. So anyway, Michael Moore is such a great filmmaker. I'm sure you've seen and watched all his movies. And this one, at one point in time, he had said that he wasn't going to make any more movies. He said everything he needed to say. Well, fortunately, that didn't last long. But I just think this movie is great. It's very timely with this electoral season on us. And I want to support it as much as possible. Hope you do, too. So Where to Invade Next. So that's our news for this edition. Next, we'll look at some upcoming events. Now we're going to get to some upcoming events that you might want to attend or get involved with. And the first group of events were reported to me from the Oklahoma Policy Institute in an email. And I'm just going to kind of read it, most of it, signed by Kara Joy McKee, the Outreach and Advocacy Specialist there. They have a great staff and their building staff. A wonderful organization. So here's her letter, her email. The legislative session has begun. Do you want to better understand how things work at the state capitol and how you can make a difference? You can download the OK Policy 2016 Legislative Primer from okpolicy.org. You can also join Oklahoma Policy Institute next Thursday, February 11th, for our first 2016 webinar on Oklahoma advocacy and the legislative process. Outreach and advocacy specialist Kara Joy McKee and legislative liaison DeMario Solomon Simmons will give an overview of the legislative process, highlight best practices for being an effective advocate, and answer questions. The free webinar will benefit anyone, whether or not you already have experience as an advocate and participant in the Oklahoma political process. Participation is limited, so be sure to sign up now to reserve your spot. If you got one of their emails, you can just click that link and go from there. If you're not already on their list, I'll tell you in a minute how to get join and get the information. So it's the Oklahoma Advocacy and Legislative Process webinar. It's Thursday, February 11th from 2 to 3 p.m. She says we're working to make the weight of each person's responsibility a little lighter, more effective, and more efficient. The Together Oklahoma Coalition has begun working as teams through chapters in Tulsa and Oklahoma City. We're expanding those efforts to other areas of Oklahoma soon. If you aren't already involved, sign up at, and this is where I said I would tell you, at Together OK, not Oklahoma, but Together OK.org, and there's a big blue join button there. Just hit that and you will get the form to fill out to get involved with that group. So here are some more of their upcoming events. On March 3rd, location to be determined, the Together OKC Action Planning, that's the group, the chapter she talked about earlier, for Oklahoma City. So March 3rd, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And so when they get a venue, you can check their website or their Facebook page for that. The Tulsa folks will be able to have that basically same action planning meeting on February 20th from 2 to 4 p.m., and that will be at the Community Food Bank of Eastern Oklahoma at 1304 North Kenosha Avenue, Tulsa. And if you aren't in the Tulsa or OKC metro areas, but you'd like to partner with other people in your legislative district to create the kind of policy changes Oklahoma needs, you need to fill out their questionnaire. And as I said before, go to that TogetherOK.org page and go from there. And I really encourage you to do that. It makes becoming a legislative advocate really simple. You meet other folks, and they provide tons of research and resources for you to make the situation easier. So TogetherOK.org. Check it out. And another event I want to tell you about is a little bit more academic in nature, and it's a talk by Dr. D. Gershon Lewenthal. It's at the University of Oklahoma, room 145 in Hester Hall on February 8, 2016, Israel and the Palestinian Territories in 2015, a retrospective. And this is a really important area of the world to know more about. The description is, ongoing tensions in Israel and the Palestinian territories make the headlines around the world. Amidst overlapping claims by Jews and Muslims about the holiest sites in Jerusalem and pundits' predictions of the outbreak of a major wave of violence, Dr. Lewenthal will attempt to place the recent events in their historical perspective with particular emphasis on the intertwining of religious symbols and contemporary politics. Again, Israel and Palestinian Territories in 2015, a retrospective, Monday, February 8th at noon, room 145 in Hester Hall, Oklahoma, University of Oklahoma. Next is a group that's been meeting for a few months, but is always open to new members. The Human Community Network, they're calling themselves, and their February gathering will be on Saturday, February 13th from 1 to 4 p.m. It's at Oklahoma City University, Sarkey Center, which was formerly the law school, which has now moved into the downtown area, room 100. That's Northwest 23rd in Kentucky. The Human Community Network February Gathering will continue the work of systemic change for a more peaceful, participatory, and sustainable Oklahoma, a time for creating transformative paths toward economic justice and care for the earth, civic participation, and diverse and inclusive community. In our February gathering, we will focus on the priorities for work within the human community that were identified in our January gathering and discern together how to implement these priorities through an Oklahoma project for systemic transformation of the economic, civic, and cultural processes within our state. Refreshments, creativity, celebration, updates about projects for our human and ecological community in Oklahoma, and visioning for what Oklahoma can become if we work together strategically, systematically, and creatively. So all that is like, it's a lot of academic language and better presentation than I can come up with on the fly, but it's basically what this podcast is all about and what my work and the work of many people in Oklahoma has been about, is really transforming the way people think about the world and their place in it. And I'm really excited that young people are coming together and doing this kind of work. I think it's really the most necessary thing for us to support. So if you're interested in checking it out or getting involved, again, Saturday, February 13th, 1 to 4, Oklahoma City University, Sarkey Center, room 100. And this also coming up later this month is Take Root, Red State Perspectives on Reproductive Justice. It's an annual conference. It takes place at OU campus. This year, it's February 26th and 27th. That's a Friday and Saturday. Last year, 543 people attended this conference from 30 states, making it one of the largest reproductive justice conferences in the country and the only one held in a red state. So, woo, Oklahoma. And those awesome activists down there at OU in the Gender Studies Department. The purpose is to provide a space for engagement on reproductive justice issues with a focus on our region's unique cultures and concerns. The conference information and registration can be found at Take Root, that's take-root, R-O-O-T, R-O-O-T, .org, take-root.org. Just to get clear on my stumbling. So if you're interested in that, attend February 26th or 27th. You do need to reserve a spot, so get to that website if you're interested and register. So have you heard about all this stuff in California with the methane leak? It's just a mess. And unfortunately, California is not the only place having problems with methane. And there will be an opportunity for Oklahoma folks to attend a hearing on methane. The Bureau of Land Management is conducting this hearing in Oklahoma City on February 18th from 1 to 4 p.m. It'll be at the Renaissance Hotel, Oklahoma City Convention Center and Spa. And Oklahoma Sierra Club is gearing up to get folks there to participate, to share concerns, and to support the BLM in addressing this really important environmental issue. Here's a note from Lena Moffitt, the director of the Sierra Club Beyond Dirty Fuels campaign. The oil and gas industry is profiting from digging up and fracking our public lands. To add insult to injury, the industry is dumping huge amounts of climate-harming methane emissions into our atmosphere by either venting it or burning it off, commonly referred to as flaring, at drilling sites. That's why the Bureau of Land Management, BLM, has proposed important new safeguards to crack down on this harmful gas flaring and venting. Regulating methane is a key part of the president's climate action plan, and it's clear why. Methane from the oil and gas industry is the fastest-growing source of greenhouse gases in the country, and it's projected to grow by a whopping 25% by 2025 unless action is taken to stop it. One important part of the solution is to establish strong safeguards to end harmful pollution coming from oil and gas infrastructure already operating on our public lands today. This is what the BLM is seeking to do with this proposed set of rules to rein in methane pollution from gas venting and flaring in our public lands. The BLM's proposed rules are a big step in the right direction. However, regulating methane is not enough to make fracking safe for our climate or our communities. Ultimately, the most effective way to solve the climate crisis and to protect our communities is to keep all fossil fuels in the ground. Amen. Together, we'll keep moving towards that goal. So that's from Lena Moffitt, Sierra Club Beyond Dirty Fuels campaign. Again, the event is February 18th, 1 to 4 p.m. And if you go to the Sierra Club Facebook page, they've got a link there to register to speak, which would be a really good idea. So it's facebook.com/OKSierraClub or oklahoma.sierraclub.org for more information and for that sign-up link to register for the hearing. And the next and last event I want to tell you about is the Oklahoma Muslim Day at the Capitol. This was started last year, and it was pretty interesting. It got, of course, some backlash from the Islamophobic element in Oklahoma. But what really was amazing was the people who came out in support of those Muslim attenders to the Capitol. A lot of folks in the religious community, Christian and Jewish, came and basically provided, you know, escort from the parking lot into the building. And I spoke to some of those folks who did that, and they found it a very moving experience. Hopefully we won't have the negative element this year, but CARE Oklahoma, the sponsor of this event, is very brave and persistent, and I feel pretty confident that they are going to prevail. At any rate, if you want to get involved this year or be supportive, it's going to be on Friday, February 26th from 9 until 3 at the Oklahoma State Capitol. And you can go to careoklahoma.org, and the registration, it's past early discount registration, but you can still register now. General registration 30, students 20. And here's some of the things the event will feature. Panel discussion with our elected leaders on the following topics: Oklahoma and the public education crisis, Prescott v. Oklahoma Capital Preservation Commission, the Ten Commandments, Sharia law, and the separation of church and state, the largest generation, the importance of millennial civic engagement, how social media organizing helps achieve cultural change, reasonably suspicious, religious profiling, what we lose when law enforcement targets American Muslims, and Decision 2016, the importance of civic engagement for the American Muslim community. So, again, February 26th, for information, careoklahoma.com. Excuse me, I said .org before, but it's .com. CAIROklahoma.com. And if you just want to show your support without attending, I would recommend you go and like their Facebook page and leave a supportive message, counteract some of the vitriol that they experience likely on a daily, if not hourly, basis. So those are just a few of the events that are coming up that you might be interested in. If you want to check out more, please go to oklahomacitizen.com/events for our full calendar. If you have an event you want to have us mention or post, send them to oklahomacitizen@gmail.com. We will be back in a minute with an opinion piece by Margaret Swimmer entitled "Rise Up, Oklahoma, Demand More from Your State Government," as published in the Tulsa World. So stay tuned. Well, we're going to finish up with an editorial. This was published in the Tulsa World on Sunday, January 31st, and it's written by Margaret Swimmer, who they identify as being a Tulsa attorney and a member of the Tulsa World Community Advisory Board. And I want to give a hat tip to Change Oklahoma for bringing this opinion piece to our attention. So I'm just going to read it, and you can make up your own mind. I think it's pretty good. As the new year begins, I grow more and more concerned about our beloved state and the direction we are going. For several years, Oklahoma has failed to keep pace with the educational, health, and human needs of our citizens, as well as safety and infrastructure issues. Oklahoma is near the bottom nationally in all these areas and is now 49th in education. Our legislative leaders and governor have told us that state revenue is down, so budgets will once again be cut for vital services. Ironically, we are assured that Oklahoma taxpayers win because we will get another tax cut, about $100 per taxpayer a year. We are assured that lower taxes and incentives will bring business to Oklahoma and improve our quality of life. Recently, a gentleman I admire greatly observed that we cannot starve ourselves into prosperity. How true. These short-term fixes have not worked to improve jobs or services in the past, and surely will not work now. Across the state, people are speaking out to say education should be the number one priority, and that we must also improve health care and reduce incarceration rates. We need to continue the conversation until we see change and get results. The failure in education is symptomatic of Oklahoma's problems in all areas. Through the years, our legislature has allowed encroachment in budgets for educational achievement. While we are told that we are graduating more students, the downside of having overcrowded classrooms and lack of certified teachers leaves a higher percentage of our high school graduates unprepared for college or employment. Lower taxes and business exemptions have not worked but are still defended by many at the Capitol. It is only common sense that a well-educated, healthy citizenry is what attracts new businesses and jobs to a state, along with friendly, competent, hardworking people. We cannot continue to allow further erosion of our educational system and accept a lack of needed basic services. We need our governor and legislature to join with the many voices in Oklahoma calling for action to move forward. We must insist that they develop a positive plan and reach for results. The legislature and the governor cannot continue to balance the budget on the backs of our school children. To be fair, we do have a few legislators offering some hope. A bill has been introduced to roll back the latest tax cut. One bill seeks to give incentives to teachers through reduced student loans and end-of-year payments. There is talk of school consolidation. David Boren has mounted a drive to increase the sales tax by a penny to be dedicated to education. We would hope to see more of these types of suggestions, but real progress will be made only with a comprehensive approach to mending our broken system. We must go on the offensive and change the way we do business at the Capitol or change the people inhabiting the Capitol. We have paid for our lower cost of living by accepting a lower quality of life. Now we must rise up and demand changes. This change cannot happen overnight, but a well-educated population will lead to increased business opportunities, less expensive health care, less imprisonment of our citizens, higher wages and more sales and income tax revenue. I ask that you contact your legislators and the governor's office and demand that education in Oklahoma be funded at a level competitive with states that produce high-achieving graduates. This is our responsibility. Education must not be just another line item in the budget. If we don't do this, we are destined to always rely on a bust or boom economy and suffer the consequences. Let's demand results and not settle for 49th place. Well, thank you, Margaret Swimmer, for those great inspiring words and really a challenge to our legislature. This is an election year, and we will have a chance to change some of the folks in that building. And I really hope that we can keep up the momentum of moving things to a sane and humane-oriented approach to policy and government in this state. Well, that's it for the first edition of Pointing Left, the Oklahoma Activist Report podcast and broadcast. Thanks again to Broad Spectrum Radio and to the Center for Conscience and Action. And again, if you have any feedback, we would love to hear it. Just know that you listened and that you want more would be helpful. You can go to OklahomaActivist.com or email us at OklahomaActivist@gmail.com. This has been produced with a Creative Commons license on February 5th, 2016.